listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to this program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome you, all of you that are listening, wherever you are on the internet or on the radio. We just welcome you to the program. Pastor Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida. We have for 22 years. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. What an incredible name, Pastor Don.
Amen.
And so we're honored to be here with you, so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we do a lot with the Jewish roots and the Hebraism and the things you've been hearing us talk about here the last few months especially. We've been talking about a lot of things. And so I think back when I first got really interested in the Jewish things, and I read a book years ago by fellow that wasn't Jewish, but he really got into the God's appointed times, and he wrote a book called Rosh Hashanah and the Messianic Kingdom to Come. And I read that, and I'll tell you, I wore that book out so bad I had to buy another one. The pages were so worn and ragged in it. But anyway, it opened my eyes to a lot of things. And so the whole pattern that God's put in the Bible with His appointed times and all are all to teach us about Yeshua, HaMashiach, our Messiah. And it's so wonderful to understand those things and walk into the fullness of it, because it opens our eyes to a lot of things and even some of the teachings we've heard today that are contrary to what the Word of God really has to say. So we want the truth and nothing but the truth. Right, Pastor Donna?
That's right.
So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, as we say every week. And I'm sure somebody's listening right now that's never listened before. You've heard us for the very first time today. We welcome you and greet you in the love of the Lord. And we hope you get something out of this, not because of Donna and I, but because of the Word of God and what we're going to share from the Word of God for your benefit. We use the King James Version Bible only in our teachings, and that's what God gave us in 1611. It's been an incredible Bible, so I'm glad I got back into it quite a few years ago and got away from it for a while, but I'm glad I'm back. And so have ears to hear what the Spirit of God might say to you today, because we're going to talk about some interesting things. I've been thinking about the numbers in the Bible a lot, but the one that really sticks out in my mind a lot is the number 3. And, you know, we talk about, as we study the Word of God, we hear the word Godhead mentioned. Well, God, the actual words Godhead is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. But there's a lot of other things that's only mentioned 3 times. I think about the word propitiation. That's only mentioned 3 times. So if we understand what those things mean, it helps us to understand the Word of God. But a lot of people don't believe in the Godhead. They don't believe it. They believe it's just, you know, the Father, and that's it. And even the Jewish people that are not messianic, have not come to know that, you know, Yeshua is their Messiah, they also really don't believe in a Godhead either. They just believe in God the Father, and that's it. And so, but there's so much more when we get into the New Testament that reveals it even more. But there's some sods. You've heard us talk about the word sod, S-O-D. It's a Hebrew word that means there's a mystery down under some of the verses. Well, there's a lot of sods in the First Covenant that reveal to us the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We might talk about one here a little bit after Donna makes her announcements that Donna's talked about a lot in the past in Genesis chapter 18 over there, those first few verses, when those 3 men appeared to Abraham, okay? And some people believe that they believe it's a pattern of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, then other people believe it's a picture of the Father and then two angels. But we really believe from studying the Word that it's referring to all three of them that appeared at that time and spoke.
The Godhead.
The Godhead, that's what it's all about. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we do that, Pastor Donna's got some announcements to make here. We've got some incredible things coming up next weekend and all for you to be in tune of. And so Donna, you tell them what you want to talk about this weekend coming up.
Say hello to everyone. And we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island. Mm-hmm. Pray that their computer is up and running and they can hear us. Amen. I wanted to let you guys know that our passports are being processed.
They're in the mail.
Now, yeah. So, we don't have them back yet, but yeah. they have been sent in for processing. So, probably we should be getting them.
Four
to 6 weeks. Yeah. But wanted to let you guys know that. And I just want to bless everyone out there that listens to this broadcast and prays for us. And, those who give offerings. And, we just thank the Lord for you all. And I want to mention also, you can also listen to us. This is your first time. We've been on the radio, on this radio station for 17
plus
years. And so we're also on the internet. So if you happen to be driving up or down, north or south, on the highway somewhere, and you'd like to listen to us again, you can go to WCNO.com on the internet, and you can listen to this this broadcast again by the podcast that they have on there. Just go to Saturday. That would be WCNO.com.
Thank you, Lord.
Go to Saturday and look for 12 o'clock Eastern Time, and you will see Raising the Standard. And that's the purpose that we are on this program, Raising the Standard, and you'll see Pastor Gene Hilton's name. So I just wanted to bless that. And that is a blessing, isn't it? It goes around the world.
Sure does.
And that is a blessing. Also want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And we also have Friday night services at 7 p.m. And we have classes on Saturday. So if you would like to come, give us a call. And we'll give you the phone number in just a moment. And we'll let you know how to find us. It's very easy, not difficult to find us from the 95 or the Turnpike or US 1. Amen. I want to mention also that we have a guest speaker,
hallelujah,
guest prophet in the house this coming
great
weekend,
man of God,
which will be the last at the end of the month on January 30th. That's a Friday at 7 p.m. And also on Saturday at the 31st at 7 p.m. And then Sunday morning, that would be February the 1st, at 10 a.m. So if you'd like to come, Prophet Gary Brooks will be with us. He brings in the glory realm, and he brings also new CDs that a lot of us listen to that we call them soaking CDs.
Yeah.
They're really prophetic music that
gets us in the presence of the Lord.
That have been given to people just while you're worshiping. Nothing planned, nothing, it's just prophetic music, and
thank you, Lord.
And it just brings you right into the presence of the Lord. And we do that on Friday nights after we have our service on Friday nights. So I'm going to give the telephone number if you're interested. You'd like to know more about Prophet Gary Brooks, just give us a call, or you can Facebook us at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's it.
Amen. That's it.
Well, I hope you come and visit, and you'll be touched by Gary. He brings us into the presence of the Lord. That's the most important thing. We use that word soaking, but we do soak, but it's really just the presence of the Lord. Before we go on, I want to say a hello to a very special lady. We know her name is Wendy Abbey, and to her dear friend. She got a dear friend, and his name is Harley.
Harley.
So I just want to
say hello.
Hi, Harley, and all of you that are listening out there. So I was just thinking about that. So I mentioned,
Harley.
I mentioned her one day. I was going to
come here, Harley.
Mention it to her. Okay.
Well, we might as well tell everyone who Harley is.
Yeah.
Wendy is a lovely lady that
Messianic Jew
that comes to the Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and she listens to us every Saturday, and also her doggie
Harley
knows our voice, and so he
listens
is excited
with her
to hear us every Saturday. So, you know, praise the Lord for our animals. Isn't that
That's right.
wonderful?
I think back years ago, we had two wonderful cats. They've passed away since then, but when you have a group of people at the house, and we'd pray before they leave and kind of get in a circle, maybe with three or four of us, the one cat would just walk right over to the one that was praying and just
stand in front.
Just stand in front and sit down, look up, and listen to them pray. And when the next one would pray, he'd move over to the next person. And so it was incredible. They're just
the
something.
Cat would be in the center,
That's right.
and he would just move as he heard the person.
As the prayers went, he'd get in front of the person. It was praying. It was incredible. So animals are in tune to a lot of things. It's incredible.
I believe they are, too.
I do, too. So anyway,
especially when we pray in the Holy Ghost.
That's right. So
we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. And we've been talking about that a lot. We need to pray in the Spirit. You're going to talk about the triangles, and we're going to talk about some of the things in threes. Okay?
Right.
Three makes an equal. You can make an equal out triangle.
That's right.
Three sides. And I think it's a picture of the whole Godhead.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, so many people want to leave the Holy Ghost out.
That's
well,
right.
The Holy Ghost is part of praying
Hallelujah.
In the Spirit.
Yes,
and so
is.
We don't want to leave that part out. So we want to have all parts, amen, and praise God.
We need
so
all three aspects of the Godhead, don't we?
All aspects
That's
of
right.
Godhead.
So I was going to mention, we're going to talk about this today a little bit. As we open up here, before we look at a couple of things, I want to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6 with you, because there is a belief in a lot of areas, even in the church, some people don't believe in the Godhead. And, of course, I mentioned the Messianic, the Jews that are not Messianic in Israel, most of them do not believe in the Godhead. And this is where it comes from. It's in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. I just want to share something with you with this. Chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This is where they come up with one Lord, okay? But we've got to remember, the Lord our God. God here is a plurality. It's the word Elohim, which means a plurality in this. And so what it says, the Lord our God is one. Now, this word Ikad right here for one is an interesting word, because it means that the Lord, he's one, of course, but he stands alone, one of a kind. He's unique. There's nothing else like that. Incredible, like him. No other God. And so that's where this is important to understand this. And so a lot of people don't fully understand this about the plurality of the Godhead. Then verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." The Lord, here's all capital. This is what? Yod, hey, vav, hey. "Love thy God, the Lord thy God, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So it's important we understand this. And so this is where this thought came, I guess, for hundreds of years with the Jewish people, that there's only Lord, it's God the Father and nothing else. But we know as we get into the New Testament, and even we got patterns and sodes in the First Covenant here to show us that the God is there's a plurality in the Godhead. And so we're going to start, I'm going to go over to Genesis 1 with you here for a moment, and we'll talk about a few things. And the threes are so important in the Bible. They really are. So God set that in place years and years ago for people to understand. But somehow we get off in the wrong place. And think about what man maybe says. Let's forget what man says. Let's just see what the Bible says. Amen? So Genesis 1:1 is one of our favorite verses. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Well, God here is a plurality again. It's Elohim. It's just a plurality. So there's more. So who was there? Verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And here's the Spirit's mentioned now. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So we can look in these two verses here, and we can see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were always there, weren't they, Pastor Don? They
That's
were never
right.
not there. Amen.
So I think you said something about the Spirit, but you know, I believe the Hebrew people, they believe in Jehovah. They believe in God.
That's right.
And they believe in the, and it talks all about the Spirit of God throughout the whole Testament. So they believe in the Spirit. And here, so, and then we get into the New Testament. In the New Testament, and people who believe, then they sort of lean more towards God and Jesus, you know, and they kind of leave out the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Especially when it comes to praying in the Holy Ghost, and because so many people, unless they're totally spirit-filled and they understand that the Godhead has always been there, the
That's
Father,
right.
Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost have always been there, because it even says here, when God said, let us, he's talking to all three of them, the triune nature of God, the Trinity of God, the
right.
God, the Elohim, and they're going to create and cause this creation to start. So they were all three there in the beginning.
right.
And
they
so
were
why
never
should
not
we
there.
Ever want to leave one of them out or,
that's right.
or you know,
or
not
two
talk,
of them out.
Or two of them out. And some people in Jesus only, we're just going to talk about Jesus. Well, we know Jesus is God. But the Bible says that we're to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And
that's right.
And Paul talked about the Spirit so much in the New Testament books about, you know, he prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anyone. So we need all three. We need the Godhead.
There's a dimension that came, and mm-hmm. it was Paul. Yeah.
And you, I see, you know, you're talking about the threes. I see, you know, we a lot of times even the triangle. You know, you have an equilateral triangle. If you have an equilateral triangle, there's different kinds of triangles. We know,
that's right.
But you know, they are equal in
they all have three
aspects.
Sides.
That's right. So they would make an equilateral triangle, mm-hmm. And so we have to look at every single part of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and not treat them as one. Because
right.
treat them as one, because that's what they are, one in the Godhead, three in one.
I was thinking about this, Pastor Donna, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground,
uh-huh.
and breathed into his
nostrils
the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
That's
now, this,
right.
this is interesting, think about that, about this. He breathed. You know, I think about the Holy Ghost. It's the breath of God that comes to us. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. So he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay. So what that life that he received, you know, God created Adam completely full grown, a man, and he breathed this life. This is a picture of the Holy Ghost into him. Okay. And what he became, what? It says he became a living soul, but what? At the moment that God breathed into him, he became spirit. Okay,
spirit.
He was spirit, and then what? The results of all that, he became a living soul. So I think we see all three of it here. You know, even our makeup, we're a Trinity ourselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have a body,
mm-hmm.
all right, hallelujah, and you know, we have a soul, and we are a spirit. We don't have a spirit; we are a spirit. And so this is interesting. We look at this. So this right here, I believe, reveals also in a unique way with the sod about what. The Godhead and what he was going to do with all of us. And so
wow.
this is how Adam came into being. Okay? And so he became spirit and all, and the breath of God breathed into him. And then, of course, he became a living soul. So we see that. Well, in the first covenant, a lot of the times the Jewish people, all through the Bible, they talk about the soul and the flesh a lot. But as Donna mentioned, there's some sods, hidden things through the first covenant that shows us also the things about the spirit. And we just saw this right here in chapter 3. Verse 7, about the breath of God. Amen? The breath of God. Whoosh! Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So it's incredible when we think about what God has in all this with us. And so the threes are so important. And I was thinking this morning when I got in here this morning, Pastor Don, before we came on the air here, you know, some things there's only listed three times in the Bible. One of them is the Godhead. It's mentioned three times in the Bible, just the word Godhead. And they're all in the New Testament. Another thing that's only mentioned three times is the word propitiation, which means it's a bloody sacrifice. Well, he became our bloody sacrifice. It's mentioned mm-hmm. three times in the Bible. In Romans 3:25, and it's in 1 John 2:2, and also in chapter 4, verse 10. So we have a lot of threes. We look at things in the Bible as we go through this. But where I was going to take you, because Pastor Donna spent a lot of time on this, and I want her to share a little bit. I want to go to Genesis chapter 18, because a lot of people have misnomers about this. As I mentioned, some people think that this is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that appeared here, okay? And then other people mention or think it's God and then two angels. But I believe mm-hmm. it's the other way. I believe we're seeing all three parts, the unity and the Godhead, hallelujah. And they're
Amen.
All important. So let's read this, and we'll talk about this a little bit. We got some other things we might share. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read 8 verses with you out of Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him. Who's the him here? It's Abraham. In the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked. And look, here we go. Three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, listen, what he calls him what? My Lord, doesn't he? It's my Lord. Now, it's not all capitals in this, L-O-R-D. It's L-O-R-D. So it's not talking about Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, but it's another term for God the Father, okay? If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, now they're all three are going to speak here, so do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of meal. I guess 1 meal for each one of the people that are there that appeared. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
So this is just before he spoke to Abraham about Sarah going to have a child and all. So you had a lot to share about this, Pastor.
Thank the Lord.
So just go ahead and have a little commentary with everybody here about what
Well, I think you're doing a good job.
But this is good what you had to say about this. I believe this is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God that appeared at this particular time. Not just the Father and 2 angels. Okay.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Made three measures of meal.
That's right.
For them.
Mm-hmm.
And fed them. You know.
That's
and,
right.
And they sat there. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, you know, if that, which I believe, you know, was Yeshua and the 2 angels,
mm-hmm.
They sat there and they ate.
They had a meal, didn't they?
They communed with Abraham, and, you know, God wants to talk to us,
That's
and so
right.
does the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Bible says that we might even be visited by angels. And we may not
That's
even
right.
know it.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to really be sensitive. And so, you know, Abraham was sensitive to the things that he was being told, because
mm-hmm.
it was what he was being given was really a mystery.
That's right.
And revealing a plan that God had for him from the beginning, from the future.
That's right.
You know, God has plans for everyone.
Amen.
From the beginning of time. It says he knew us before the foundation
of the world.
Mm-hmm. So God has a plan for every single person. So,
that's right.
You know, we can say, well, this is just a story, and this is how mm-hmm. Things happened and how things began. But I think it also shows us that, you know, God's still the same.
That's right.
And the Bible says that God doesn't change, and he's still the same. God is God. And so, you know, Abraham wanted to give them the best.
That's it.
Wanted to feed them the best. And we should feel that way about God. We should give him the best of what we have. And that includes our time and everything. And,
our
you
life.
Know, our
yeah.
life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And but, you know, when he started telling these things to Abram, you know, Sarah, she did something different, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she said she denied that she laughed, but
yep.
she did laugh.
That's right.
And, you know, God knows everything. God knows if you laugh. He knows when you cry. He
mm-hmm.
knows when you're angry. He knows when you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows everything. So, you know, but the thing that's important was the thing that he was said, spoken to them came to pass.
That's right.
And, you know, God will bring every word to pass. That he speaks to people. And what name of our church is that the Lord gave us the spirit of prophecy. And so as we're going to have a prophet coming in next week, we also have the spirit of prophecy released in our church every week.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes every week somebody might get a prophecy. Sometimes several people might. You know, you just never know. But God wants people to be able to get a word from the Lord. Because what does it do? In the New Testament, we can go over there and it says that it what?
Encourages. Comfort and exhort.
And edifies.
And edifies,
mm-hmm.
that's right.
And don't we need that in this time?
Sure do.
And, you know, Abram was kind of, they were kind of old. You know, they weren't young, spry
right.
chickens. But they were up there and they were at the point where they really didn't have a whole lot of hope until, see, the word brings hope.
That's right.
It doesn't bring at that point, the sun didn't come right
mm-hmm.
just instantly, but the word brought hope.
That's right.
And the hope brought action, and so their bodies were renewed to be able to bring forth a child that was to come forth for a purpose. Because every person has a purpose, and so that word, that encouragement, brought hope. And you know what? They believed the word. That's key too. Because
sure.
they were stricken in age, it says here. It says, now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age.
That's right.
And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So she couldn't have children anymore. And so she, verse 12 says she laughed within herself. She laughed. So it doesn't mean she laughed out loud. Ha, 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 ha.
You know,
she laughed within herself. She held it back. You know, I don't want them to hear me laughing, but oh boy, this is really funny. You know, she laughed within herself. And it says, and the Lord. Now, if you look in the Bible, it says this Lord is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Mm-hmm.
They're all capital letters. So that this is the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh?
Yeah.
So, you know, she's saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? So she, you know, but even in the New Testament says that she had faith.
I tell you,
you can laugh. And, you know, but you know what?
She still believed God.
But the word stirred faith within her,
mm-hmm.
because the word came forth and the word stirred faith in her, and that's what the word will do.
I think so too.
The word will stir us up and cause us to have great faith. And you know what? Faith comes by what?
Hearing by the word of God.
So what were they doing? They were hearing the word of the Lord.
Amen.
14, which is a very one, this we can all take this and put it in our heart. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It hasn't changed. Nothing is too hard for the
mm-hmm.
Lord. It wasn't too hard for the Lord then, and it's not too hard for the Lord now. And then the Lord went on and says, at the time appointed. See, there's always an appointed time. God has an appointed time. This year is an appointed time for the whirlwind, you know. And at a time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That's a promise.
Right.
And so Sarah denied that she laughed. I laughed not, for she was afraid. Well, she knew that there was a holy presence right there. So she was afraid. And he says, nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, you know, God doesn't, that shows you right there, God didn't get angry. The Lord didn't get angry at her. I mean, he knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. He knows how we try to reason things and try to make us say, well, you know, I'm too old to do this. Well, how many people? I could say that right now. You could say that. Well, I'm too old to do this, you know. Let somebody else do it. When we did the Bible marathon, no, we're too small to do this.
Yeah.
Or I'm too this, I'm too that. Everybody looks for some kind of an excuse. But God's not looking for excuses. He's just looking for those who will be willing and obedient. And the other thing that they came is they came for Sodom. They came for Sodom. And, you know, even Abraham talked to God, talked to the Lord about that. And, you know, the Lord was very patient. The Lord is patient. It shows that the Lord is patient with us. But if things keep getting worse and worse and worse, there's an appointed time for destruction.
That's right.
So even though God's grace and his mercy, it says his mercies endure, you know,
forever,
and he's got grace. And this is the year of grace, 5775.
That's right.
That's the Hebrew year.
Hallelujah.
And actually 2015, there's more grace in 2015 than there is in 5775. If you take the number 5 is the number for grace.
Right.
Grace is 5. And so you divide 2015 by 5, and you're going to come out to 415.
Okay.
That's a lot of fives, isn't it?
Sure is.
That's a lot of fives. Stack those fives up.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Stack those fives up, one on top of another, and just see how much grace that we have this year. Because there's a lot of terrible things that are happening in the world today. But yet God still has grace. You know, there's still grace there. But there's going to be a time when he's going to deal with the unrighteous. He's going to deal with those who are will sell their nation out to ungodliness. Well, that's what happened to Sodom and Sodom and Gomorrah.
Came right after this, didn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Came right after.
And those men went with him. Those three went with him over there.
And who was Abram's cousin? Lot, right? He chose that land because it looked good, right? They both came into the land, and there was too many for them to be all in one place. So Abraham said, you know, you choose what land you want. And so he went by
His sight.
His sight, the natural.
That's right. The best, the thing that looked the best. Yeah.
That's what Sarah was looking at, basically. That's right. She was looking at the sight. She was looking at was looking at her body. This old body's going to have a baby? This old body's going to nurse a baby, a child? You know. Man doesn't see, God doesn't see by that, by sight. He sees by, he sees in the spirit. So we need to get more into the things of the spirit. But see, those things that were happening, and they went, those angels went down. Those are the angels went down, not went down to see what was happening down there. Well, you know, God already knew.
Sure.
But there was another, even a test, even for Lot and his family.
Yep.
How many went into that land?
Mm-hmm.
They had all taken in that perverse spirit.
Yeah.
So you're around all that stuff. You know, you pick up those spirits. And so none of them really wanted to come out. You know, even Lot, you know, he was obedient. He went, but even his wife, she didn't want to leave. And he had to force, the angels had to force the three of them to leave. And what happened to, what about all the other children? What about all the other people that went in with Lot?
That's right.
They had already turned away from the Lord. And so, you know, destruction came. And so it shows you, they came down, those three came down. They came down for two reasons. One reason to speak to Abraham, and another reason also to let Abraham know. Because they said, should we not, I'm paraphrasing this, should we not let Abraham know what's going to happen down there with Lot? And, you know, he loved that. He loved his brother. I mean, his wasn't his brother. It was his
like nephew,
like
really.
Like a nephew or a cousin. Yeah. He loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But God let him know. Because he said, pre-adventure, there'd be, you know, he goes from what? Numbers keeps going down. What did he go down to? 10 or something like
that? That's right, to 10,
Pre-adventure, there'd be 10. He says, well, I won't destroy it. 10. But there weren't even 10.
That's right.
There weren't even 10. But thank God, I believe there's more than 10 here in the United States that are really seeking the Lord, even though there's many things that are happening in our nation which just can turn your stomach.
That's right.
You know. But here it does, it shows us that we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, here we have.
And of course, those three men that appeared to him in chapter 18, to Abraham, they all went to Sodom and Gomorrah also, didn't they? So it's interesting.
Well, there's just two of them went down to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, two of them, yeah.
Right, he had two angels, I believe. And the Lord remained talking to Abraham.
But if we talk about these threes, it's so important we think about all these things. I was thinking about over here, I was thinking in Isaiah chapter 6, we see something very interesting that Isaiah wrote here by the Spirit of God, and he's, I'm going to read verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. He saw this, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he covered his, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Now here's the key thing. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, that's in the book of Revelation also.
That's right.
They're up there crying out, holy, and I think that's another pattern of what? Of the Godhead, all right? And it says, and the whole earth is full of his glory. There's three scriptures in the New Testament that talks about God's fullness, you know, the fullness of God. It's in Ephesians 3:19, if somebody would like to write it down, Ephesians 4:13, and Colossians 2:9, about the fullness of the Godhead, amen? And so we see this, as it's mentioned in the New Testament. And so I think about this, it's full of his glory. Then I went down and read this morning, down in verse 8. Also, Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? It doesn't say for me, it says for us. So here's a plurality. Who's the us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what did he say? Then he said, here I am, send me. So it's incredible to think about all the number threes. Now, another thing I thought about, if we turn, let's go over to the New Testament now. The New Testament makes it really clear about the Godhead, but you have to look at the sods a lot of the time in the First Covenant to see these things, but I think a lot of it's clear if we look at it. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 4 with you, and we can see this also. All right?
Now this
is when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and he recognized him. He says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, okay? And so verse 15 in chapter, this, I'm going to go to chapter 3, not 4. Chapter 3, verse 15 says this, and Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And so John thought that Jesus should be baptizing him instead of John baptizing the Lord. But he told him to allow it to happen because they will fulfill all righteousness, the things that's required in the Torah. Now, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, right here, here's the Godhead. What do we have? We have the Son here, Jesus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was always there. He was incarnated into a man to walk the earth for the period of the time he was on the earth and to minister. Okay. The Father spoke from heaven. And what happened? And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, came down upon him. So here you have the Trinity. I don't like the word Trinity. The Godhead appears right here. And we see it many times when we look at the scriptures and all that. So anyway, it's wonderful. I think about it.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, there's a lot of places where threes are mentioned. Think about this. I've been reading a book I got about threes and about numbers. This is some interesting things. I knew most of this, but it was kind of nice to see how it was kind of put together.
You know, when you look at the heavenlies, you look at God the Father, God the Son,
mm-hmm.
and God the Holy Spirit. Well, when you look at, why are families in such a mess? Because there you have another three. You have God, and then you have the husband and the wife.
Right.
That makes three, right?
Right?
But if God isn't first,
right.
then what's going to happen to the husband and the wife?
A lot of disorder comes many times.
Right.
That's right.
And so there's always an order.
That's right.
And many times things are in, there's a lot of things that are in threes. Even in the natural, there's things that
right.
are in threes. Here you mm-hmm. have, you know, but go ahead and finish what you're saying.
I was just thinking, before I read some of these examples mm-hmm. of the threes, over in Genesis chapter 1, we see over there, mm-hmm.
On the third day.
When all the seed-bearing plants were put on the ground after their kind, you know, not GMO, but after their kind, all right, we see what happens in all that. And so this is why Yeshua had to go in the grave and be in the grave for 3 days, because he was a seed that died, went into the grave, and produced so much. Look at all the people that's come to him over the years since he died and rose from the grave, okay? So he was that seed. So that was on the third day that he came out of the grave. So there's something very interesting about the third day and everything we look at here. Now, some of these examples I wanted to mention about Yeshua and the number three, think about this. During his three-year ministry, it was actually three and a half, but it's 3 years, Christ raised, what, three people from the dead. It's in the New Testament, okay? Now think about it. Satan, we're in Matthew chapter 4 here. It shows that Satan tempted Jesus how many times? Three times.
Okay? Three times.
All right. Now, the transfiguration of Jesus took place before Peter and the brothers, James and John. So there was three people of the transfiguration that witnessed this. Another one, Peter denied Christ. How many times? Thrice. Three times he denied the Lord. On Calvary, there was three that were crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another interesting thing. Amazingly, it was the third hour that Jesus was crucified. That's when he was nailed to the tree. At what? The third hour, which was 9 in the morning. And for 3 hours, darkness, what? Shrouded the earth from 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon. Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
And on the third day, like Jonah from the whale's belly, Jesus rose from the earth, symbolizing what? His future resurrection, what? On that third day. Glory be to God. It's incredible when we think about all these things he's got in place. So the third day is very important, and all the threes are so important no matter what happens. We have another incredible thing that's given to us in Matthew, another trinity, if you want to call it that, or a triune like we are. If we go to Matthew chapter 28, I'm turning my pages here. You probably can hear that on the radio. That's
we're
all right.
Spirit, soul,
that's
and body.
Right.
That's
so,
another three.
That's right. Look what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19 there. What? He said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, in all different ways, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this is incredible when we think about all the threes that we have that's mentioned over and over. Amen. I even think about the Lord's Prayer, Pastor Don. There's a trinity in that thing. It says, give us today our daily bread. Okay. Well, that's talking about the Father. Then forgive us our debts or our sins. That's the Son that does that.
Uh-huh.
And lead us not into temptation. The Holy Ghost will never lead us into temptation with sin, will he?
Uh-huh.
We do it on our own. So these are important things to think about. And I think about the fullness of the God. Jesus tells us in Galatians 4:4, that he came in the fullness of time, right, at the appointed time, born of a woman under the Torah. Mm-hmm. So we have all these things that God shows us in the Word of God, and he repeats it over and over and over and over again. And I like this one here. I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn over there with me. We used to speak this over the children when Don and I ministered to children for quite a few years down in Fort Lauderdale before we moved up here. And this was an interesting thing that our youth pastor used to use all the time. It's in 2 Corinthians 13. The very last verse of 2 Corinthians says this: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Here is the Godhead again being revealed in a dynamic way.
That's
and
right.
The sad thing is some of these other Bible translations leave out the Godhead, and they put some of the term in like the divine nature, divine being. Well, to me, that could be anybody. But the Godhead is so clear what it's all about. Amen?
That's right.
So glory be to God. So the threes are something very important for us to understand. And so, you know, I didn't think about this with about the Jewish people. I'm going to go over to Hosea 6 with you for a moment. And this is even revealed in the scriptures. And I don't know where the Jewish people, the rabbis and all, have ever really seen this in chapter 6 here. But I just might mention this here a little bit because we're talking about these threes. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, the prophet speaks by God, come and let us return our teshuva unto the Lord, for he hath torn, this is talking about during Jacob's trouble and all, and he will heal us, he hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Now listen to this, verse 2, after 2 days. Now we know 2 days prophetically in the Word of God, each day represents a period of 1,000 years. Genesis 1, all 7 of those days represents a period of 1,000 years on the earth. So it says after 2 days, after 2,000 years, will he revive us? He's talking to the Jewish people here. Mm. And then it says, in the third day. All right. The third day. Now remember, the third day will be what? The millennial kingdom that will be established on the earth. So how important is this three? It's so important. It really is. And so he says right here, after 2 days, will he revive us? And he's going to. And then it says, in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall what? Live in his sight, which talks about what? Resurrection.
Amen.
So we have all these things about the third day and how important. So I used to read my Bible years ago when I started studying the Jewish roots. Anytime I see anything mentioned about the third day, I marked it in my Bible because it's very prophetic for us to know and see what God's wanting us to know in all this about the Godhead and what he put in place. So we have some skeptical people today, we know, that will doubt the essential threeness of the Godhead. And I don't know why they do that.
We also know that the enemy, the devil, has taken the Godhead and perverted it. Okay,
that's right.
What about 666?
That's right.
Okay, he's perverted it, and he's there's a lot of demonic things that have to do with the triangle as well, because you know he is the author of confusion, and he wants to turn the whole thing upside down and make it look like, you know, he is the one. He's the ruler.
That's it.
And he wants to be the ruler.
Absolutely.
And you always say, you know, you give the enemy an inch, and he'll become
a ruler.
Or
a king in your life, yeah.
Right. You give him a ruler, and he'll become a yardstick.
That's right.
It's going to get longer and longer and longer, because that's his purpose, is to come to kill, steal, and destroy, and to deceive people.
That's right.
It says there in John 10:10 that the thief, we know who the thief is. He's
that's
the liar.
Right.
And it says that he was a liar from the beginning. You know, he lied to Eve in the garden.
Amen.
He deceived her in the garden.
That's right.
He got her to start thinking about other things other than, you know, of her selfish things.
That's
he
right.
He got her thinking, well, you'll have this and you'll have that. You'll be like God. You know, you'll be like God. So what he was doing was deceiving her. And so what did she do? She fell into that trap of the enemy.
That's right.
And so there's also the reversal of the Godhead, that we have the enemy.
That's right.
And he also uses the number three in a lot of things.
That's absolutely true. And I've told this for years, and I'm going to continue to share it with people. Remember, it's not how you start this race with the Lord. Some of you maybe that's walking with the Lord and you're not really sincere with him. It's not how you start.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you end. And Ezekiel declared that also. And it's a pattern for us today. It's not how we start. It's how we end. And so we need what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in our life. Remember, the Father had the plan, didn't he?
Yes.
The Son was always there. So was the Spirit of God. But he had the plan. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua came and what? Fulfilled his plan by dying on this, coming to this earth as a man and dying and raising from the dead. So
right.
He fulfilled God's purpose. Because you know, no man is qualified to be the Messiah except Yeshua, because he was the only man that never sinned. Well, so he fulfilled it, and then the Holy Ghost was released to you and I, and so now the Holy Ghost is revealing what? Yeshua, and Yeshua is revealing God's plan to all of us. So it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can't have one without the other. They all work together, and we thank God for that. Even though the function they operate in, they're total in unity, in doctrine, belief, all that. You know, everything that God has in place, they're all in agreement with everything God put in place, okay? But the Father was the one that brought it into being, and then he asked his Son one day to come to this earth, and come to this earth as a man, and die for all mankind for their sin. And then, of course, the Holy Ghost was released after his resurrection and all that by the Father and the Son. And so now we have one that's leading us and the world, what, to the Son and the Father. It's incredible when I think about the purpose that God has with the Godhead. So it's so precious and so important to understand it, because there's a depth in it that's just beyond comprehension. And it tells us in John over there, I think chapter 16, that the Holy Ghost was sent to what? To even tell us things to come. Things to come. So we can be in tune with the Father and the Son and with the Holy Ghost as well. And so God wants us to know how important this is to walk into the fullness. But I was thinking about triangles. You know, Donald, we've been talking about triangles. If you think about it, even the word three can be a triangle. You can have, you know, I think about when I took trigonometry and the triangles. You can have three. You can make a triangle. You can put three dots on your paper in front of you. Put a dot at the top and then come down on each side at an angle and put two dots at the bottom. If you look at it, it looks like a triangle.
Sure.
And so, and a lot of other numbers, six can be done the same way and all. And so they work out into being triangles. And so God is a triune Godhead, and there's some reason that he did this. I don't comprehend all of it, but we're trying to approach that. As Donna just said, you and I, we're a triune being. Amen? We are spirit. All right. He gave us a soulish realm, and he put us in a body. Amen.
That's right.
If we didn't have a body, you wouldn't see us. But there's a reason for all that. And so even when I think about Paul said over in one of his letters, he mentioned that Jesus appearing that we might be what? We might be all whole in what? In spirit, soul, and body at that particular time. It's incredible. So all three parts of our body is important. Excuse me.
See, people know that there's power. See, there's power in the Godhead.
That's right.
But they also know that the enemy has power. Well, what do you think about the triangle on the dollar bill
that's right.
Not connected?
That's right.
What do you think about, you know, the Egyptians knew there was some kind of power. They built these pyramids, right?
That's right.
And there's a lot of things throughout the earth where there's power, even places on the earth, like, say, the Bermuda Triangle. Well,
yeah.
Things
there's
have happened
there. Spots
there.
In the world like that.
There are spots all around the world that are like that, and they're equally spaced. Well, we don't understand all these things, do we?
12 can be written down like a triangle also.
So, that's right. And you can take a clock. Mm-hmm. You can take your clock that's hanging on your wall.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about time, because this is a time God is shortening time. This year is also represents when time is cut out, you know. And you say, well, where did the time go? Well, you think about that. Time in your mind has been cut out. What did, you know? Well, I lost time. Don't people say that? I lost time.
Yeah.
Oh, time's been cut out.
Yeah.
Well, where did the day go? You know,
sure.
I didn't get things done I wanted to do today. Oh, it's dark already, you know. And then, you know, all this time. Well, I said, you know, look at the clocks, because if you can divide that clock up into that circle. So you have a circle clock. You can divide that clock. If you go and start drawing lines from the center point out, you've got a whole bunch of triangles.
You can make it, yeah.
And then if you divide them down, bring those triangles down into minutes, you have even more triangles.
That's right.
And if you bring them down into seconds, you have hundreds of triangles. You have hundreds of triangles.
Sure.
And you said, how many seconds? We talked about this the other day. How many seconds in your life? 32.
If you're 32 years old, it was like about 85 billion seconds.
All those seconds go by. And I said, I was seeing, and the spirit was like, God says, don't get on the hour hand, don't get on the minute hand. He says, we need to be like on the second hand.
Second hand.
And so the second hand moves pretty fast. And so, you know, if we aren't stable with the Lord, we could topple over. We could fall off. You know,
that's
God
right.
wants us to be able to be balanced with him, so that we use up the time that he's given us, because as the time gets shorter and shorter, you know, it's almost like we're losing time, we're losing chances, we're losing opportunities, just all those things. So we need to be, if we get on that second hand, you say, wow, that's, you know, that thing, that moves fast. But if you can even take that clock, and you can draw a line, like from the center, like you said, like if you, like when you're in doing geometry, and you draw it out to each one, like the each like to 12, and then to 2. Well, you draw that line across, you've made a triangle. Well, it's not an equilateral triangle, but you've made a triangle. And so as the triangles get closer and closer and closer together, I think that would be called a, I don't know if it's an isosceles triangle, but anyways, there's two sides that are the same, and one is really short. See, the time must be really getting shorter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and the Bible talks about how it's getting closer and closer to that day. We're getting closer and closer to that day.
Even Paul said to buy up the time, didn't he?
So we need to buy up the time. And so God's just not saying, no, buy up a day or buy up an hour. We need to buy up the time.
Amen.
And so time is broken down into what? Seconds.
That's right.
Seconds.
So a lot of seconds in a year. I was thinking about this while you were talking. And we're talking about what would be the purpose of God making us a triune being? Well, think about this. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Well, spirit gives us God consciousness and can, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The soul gives us what? Self-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flesh gives us what? Worldly consciousness. Consciousness, because we're in the world.
We're in the world.
And so God wants us to distinguish between those three, and He wants us to know mm-hmm. that the Spirit is the one that gives us the we can come to the Lord and have the knowledge of God, and that's going to change our soulish realm and our thinking patterns and all that. And it can also, when that happens, it's going to change the flesh as well. So that's what we have with it. And we know that the Spirit is what? That part of us that we can't see, all right? That's the part you can't see. Your soul, we can't see that either. But the fleshly man, we can see. But see, God wants us to understand that those two unseen realms are so important that the spirit and the soul are hooked together, and we'll follow after the spirit and not after the soul. It makes it clear over there in Galatians chapter 5 about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he talks about the enmity between what? The spirit and the flesh. It doesn't say anything about the soul. So that's where the battle is. And so we see why God, I believe, I fully understand this, I think now, why he made us a triune person, because we need all three aspects of that to walk this earth and accomplish what God wants us to do. And the people in the world that don't come to Yeshua, well, then they've left out a serious element. Even though they are spirit, God gave them spirit, but they're not recognizing spirit, and so they're living by the soul and the flesh. And so what do? The soul will do whatever it likes to do, and the flesh will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the key thing with all this. And so remember that. The spirit has the capability with us to give us God consciousness. That's what we hear even when we prophesy. We hear from the spirit. And then the soulish realm gives us what? Self-consciousness. We need to die to self. And then the third part of us is what? The body, which gives us what? World consciousness, that we're in the world and we see all this, but God wants us to be separated from that and to look to Him. It's incredible what He gave us, amen? And so He intended that from the very beginning, as we talked about
that's
Adam.
That's why I said to look on those things that are above
and not
below.
That's
Above and not below.
That's
We need to focus our eyes. Well, you know, even if you take the bridge across the bridge of your nose and you look up, you have two eyes, right? Bible talks about him being single eyed. That means that we need to just be focused on him. But here we have two eyes. One eye is looking in the natural, looking at the things of the world. The other eye is trying to look towards God.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're really seeking the Lord, maybe they're not. Maybe they're looking towards the enemy and towards the devil, and they don't believe in God. So they're not even trying to seek those things, look towards those things that are holy. But even if you look at your eyes, you know, two eyes, and if you're looking up, you're going to go one way. You're going to be looking, they're going to join together, and it's going to look towards the heaven,
Hallelujah.
Towards the heavenly realm.
That's what a triangle is. It points up.
We need to look up. He says, lift your head, look up. You know, seek those things that are above, not below.
Mm-hmm.
Well, below could be here on the earth, or it could be the things of the devil, which are actually below the enemy. That's the sin and the darkness of the world.
That's right. I mentioned three scriptures a while ago. I like to read these out of the Bible. The first one is in Ephesians 3:19, talking about the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of the God. This is an incredible prayer that Paul prayed here. The other one is in chapter 4, verse 13 of Ephesians. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, listen, of the fullness of Christ. Then we go to the book of Colossians. It's mentioned again. Excuse me. Got a little bug here this morning. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 9. Listen to this. Woo! For in him, who this is talking about Yeshua, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hear that? Mm-hmm. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so because we know Jesus, if you're born again, we have the fullness of God in us. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How can you have one without the other? We have all of them. We're the temple of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Isn't that true?
Amen.
We are the temple of God. We're the ark. We're an ark walking around, temple of God. And so we got to understand what we have in us and how important it is to walk in the fullness of that. And so being as I read verse 8 before, it is a warning for all of us. Paul says, beware lest any, the word lest means for fear, that any man spoil you through what? Philosophy, boy, we have a lot of that today, and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And then he says, for in him, in Yeshua, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Isn't it incredible when we think about it?
Wow.
So the threes are important, and especially the Godhead. And there's a lot out there today that's being shared that kind of makes people wonder, is there really a Godhead or there's not a Godhead?
Definitely
the Bible
is.
Says there is. There's no question about it being a Godhead. You know, even the threeness we're talking about with the trianglers and all, it's an ever-present element in God's Word. His works, his being, everything about him is the Trinity, this. Everything comes in threes. It's incredible. And so if you look up how many threes there are in the Bible, there's hundreds of them where it talks about the third day, the third this, the third that, whatever, to look it up and see how important it is for us to understand the fullness of what God wants us to know in this day and this hour. Aren't we glad for that?
Wow.
So, I don't know. I get excited thinking about it. And so, Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
That you've revealed the Godhead to us, even with when you created Adam, a full-grown man. He wasn't even breathing yet. And then you breathed in him. It's the Holy Ghost going into him. And he became a living soul. But also, he became spirit at that time also. So we thank you for that. That we come through the lineage of Adam from the very beginning. We know that.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for that. And so we want to walk in the fullness of the Godhead that dwells in us. And we can reveal you out into the world.
Not just
one aspect of it. But all three.
Amen. Wow, this time's gone by so quickly, Pastor Dean.
There's so many
things we could talk about.
Yeah.
But we're blessed to be on this radio program, WCNO, and also on the internet, WCNO.com. And you can listen to this program again, or you can listen to many more that we have done in the past. Just go to WCNO and look on Saturday, and you'll find us. We have services here in Stuart, Florida. We will be having guest speaker prophet Gary Brooks will be with us next weekend. Will be the 30th and the 31st of January, and also on Sunday, February the 1st.
Hallelujah.
If you'd like to come, you'd like to visit, you'd like to have a copy of this teaching, or you'd like to talk to Pastor Gene or myself, you can give us a phone call. I'm going to give you the number in a moment. We have church services on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So just call us. It's area code 772-285-7007, and that's area code 772-285-7007.
Hallelujah. So we're on this program every week because we love people.
Amen.
And we want to see the standard raised in their life to understand the deep things and to bless you. We hope you have a great day. And so until next week.
Go to church.
Go to church till next week. We just tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
We say Shabbat Shalom, which is Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.
Thank you.